Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, BYU volleyball setter Tyler Hergett. Tyler, thanks for taking a few minutes. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Great day outside.
It is definitely a great day outside. So that means it's a great day to be inside and not experiencing the outside, right? Doing a podcast. About a year ago, I was able to interview you when you were a guest on BYU Sports Nation. And at the time, the men's volleyball team was getting ready to play USC in the MPSF quarterfinals. Now, that didn't end up the way you guys wanted. You ended up losing that match 3-2 to finish the season as a BYU Cougar. And we're going to eventually get into more about that season. But I want to ask you, how have you changed as a volleyball player from last season to this season? Where have you seen the biggest growth?
Every team is different. Every team dynamic is different. And every coach has to realize that. Every player has to realize that. And so we lost some guys last year, and we gained some really good guys this year. And they've brought their own expertise, their own personalities to the team. And I think that the biggest growth that I've had to manage as a setter has just been, how can I control or manage my personality to kind of mesh with the team? How can I fit in with the team the best that I can to help the team succeed? And I think that that's the biggest task that every single player on the team has, especially last year. I mean, we lost. It was kind of difficult, as you mentioned. But the guys that came back, we all knew that we had to not do anything different, but kind of figure out, how can we make this new team even better?
One big change from last season to this year is what you did this past summer. You worked as a private equity summer analyst for Portfolio Advisors in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
A lot of athletes spend their summers getting ready for next season. How were you able to get ready for this year while working as a private equity analyst last year?
That's a great question. So down in Dallas, I mean, the days were long, they were hot, but there is a very big volleyball community down there, and I found a couple people that I just connected with them, and I was able to play volleyball with them a lot on the weekends. And I think that kind of just kept my skills, or just heightened my skills a little bit, just to keep it prepared for this upcoming season. But towards the end of the summer, when that opportunity or job ended, I kind of got back in the groove of it. So that's kind of how I stayed in the volleyball spirit, more or less, while working.
You say there's a pretty big volleyball community. Any reason why there would be such a big volleyball community down in that area?
I have no idea. I mean, the Texas volleyball is really good. The women's team is very good down there. I mean, obviously that's in Austin, but I think that there are a lot of beach places and a lot of very good club teams for high school students and athletes. And I think that that's why there's such a big volleyball presence down there. And so I was able to just connect with some people, and the rest was very successful.
So you've worked at a private equity firm. You've got an accounting job lined up. Are you kind of like the financial guy on the team? Like, do people come to you for advice?
No, they don't. There's one other guy who's a bit smarter than me, but we won't name him here.
Okay, let me ask you this. Here's a very important question. If they came to you and wanted you to help them out, would you charge them, or would it be? You know what? We're teammates. I'll let the charges slide this time.
I've thought about that. I think the charges would have to come into play. I'd have to charge a little bit, you know.
I agree.
The expertise is there.
Somewhat. You don't want to shortchange yourself.
That's the
here.
Thing, you know. I have the skills, and and I got to prove it.
I like it. I like that a lot. So as we mentioned, this is your second year on the BYU men's volleyball team as the setter, but BYU was not your first choice of school, and it's interesting because it's where your mom and your dad both attended. Your dad, Todd, played linebacker for BYU. Your mom, Nancy, was a sprinter for BYU track. And while you and your siblings were growing up, I've got to assume you heard a lot about BYU, and there were a lot of BYU stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, did your parents pepper you guys with their tales of their BYU days? And how did that not sink in initially for you?
Uh-huh. So we all knew that they both went to BYU, and they both, or at least my dad and my mom, they played football, and she competed in track. But they didn't really tell many stories, but we knew what they did. We knew what they had done. We knew what they had accomplished. And I think that just kind of drove us, gave us a little bit of drive in our lives. And that's why a lot of my siblings have gone on to play collegiate sports. And I think that, well, I mean, we all loved BYU as kids. We watched them all every night. We did our best to support them, even though we were living out on the East Coast. We attended any games when they traveled out to the East Coast.
And you lived in Connecticut.
And we lived in Connecticut, yes, sorry. And so it was awesome. I mean, I love to see my dad and my mom kind of talk about their college days.
So you mentioned that you had your siblings, every one of your siblings played volleyball, is that right?
Yeah.
And you have four brothers, yes, and one sister, correct?
I have four brothers and one sister.
And everybody, yeah, played volleyball.
Everyone did.
So look, it's not always a sport that people pick up. So why volleyball for everybody?
So my oldest brother, he was one that got into it. So we were all big football and lacrosse people growing up. And just because the East Coast is a big lacrosse area, at least my town was. And so we all played football since we were younger. My sister was kind of a soccer, field hockey, mm-hmm, girl. And then once my oldest brother got into high school, lacrosse just kind of wasn't working out. And so he transitioned into volleyball. And at this point, all of us were still in middle school or elementary school. And we just, all of us had the time to go attend and watch his games. And so when we'd watch his games, I think we just fell in love with it. We would pepper on the side during timeouts. And it was just like a very family-centered game. And I think that's what my parents loved about it. And so we would all go to the games. By the time I got to high school, I was itching to play. And so just because you couldn't play before, it, mm-hmm, just wasn't that popular yet.
Yeah.
And so I could only start when my freshman year in high school. And so I think once my older brother started playing, we all started going to his games as a family. We all just decided that it was for us.
Like, that's the sport for,
yeah,
you guys.
Yeah, this was it.
Okay, so we know what position you play now. What position did you play in high school?
I started out a setter, just because we didn't have one on the high school team. And when I got to play with my older brother, and when he graduated in high school, I then transitioned to outside hitter, and then they just trained a new setter. So I've played those two, but mainly setter for most of my volleyball career.
I would imagine that it's probably a combination of hard work and genetics and willpower and all of it, but for you to start competitive volleyball so late in high school, why do you think you have become so proficient at it, and obviously being able to play at the next level?
The guys that I play with on the daily here at BYU Volleyball, they're all so talented, but lots of them weren't just naturally talented. They've either been playing volleyball and been putting in the work for a long time, or they haven't, and they've had to progress very quickly and put in that work in a short amount of time. And that's what's so crazy. I think that there's so much work and so much effort that goes on in collegiate sports behind their head that they don't know about. But these people are putting in so much time and effort for the dreams that they want to chase. And I knew that I wanted to play college volleyball when I was a junior in high school. And at that point, I then just gave it my all my attention. That's what I wanted to do, and I just did whatever I could to do it.
The volleyball community is such a tight-knit community. I mean, they really do look out for their own. Like, this yeah, is our group. What's it like to be a part of that community?
It's actually so cool, just because I'll go back to my time down in Dallas. I mean, nobody knew who I was. And I started coming to these tournaments, and I started going to play on the weekends. And it was just an immediate acceptance. They just, even though I'm not the best beach player, they were like, you can do everything else. We'll put you at a different position, but you need to be here. Like, very accepting. That's what the volleyball community is amazing in any place that you go. They just want you to play. They just want to have fun. And that's why people who aren't necessarily the most skilled at volleyball, they have a fun time playing.
Right.
Because they're just accepted.
Well, and you were really successful in high school. You won a state championship in 2017.
Uh-huh.
You were an all-state selection in Connecticut in 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
So with that type of success, obviously we know that you did go on to play college. Uh-huh. But at that time, how many colleges were looking at you? What was that recruiting process like for you?
It was pretty minimal, I'd say. I was kind of on the smaller side, but not necessarily. But there weren't too many colleges that were necessarily reaching out to me. As someone who likes to chase his dreams, I was reaching out to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And so that's how my recruiting process kind of went. I just was reaching out to as many colleges as I could, so the ones that I was interested in.
BYU was not one of the schools that looked at you, correct?
Off the bat, yeah.
Off the bat, they were not. So was that one of the schools that out of high school you would have wanted to play for? Because obviously with the history with your family, were you a little bummed that they weren't showing interest initially in you?
At first I'd probably say maybe a little bit, but it didn't bother me too much. I would have loved to come and play at BYU off the bat, but I just really wanted to play volleyball in college for a team that was good and where at a university where I could learn and grow and develop. And I think that was the main goal. And so when I went to Penn State, that checked off the box.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And then it kind of just didn't working out. And so then I transitioned my way out of here to BYU, and it fulfilled exactly what I wanted to fulfill.
We're going to get more into that aspect a little bit later on. But for you, you ended up serving a mission to Argentina.
Yeah.
Was it always something that you had planned on doing to serve a mission?
It was, yeah. Since I was probably 15, maybe younger. I think I was... Yeah, I was 15 when my oldest brother went. So that was probably the biggest move or in that direction that I had is when he went.
How much pushback, if any, did you get from colleges when they did show interest? You know, oh, by the way, I'm planning on going away for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Did that detour anybody from looking at you?
No. As long as you're very transparent, I think almost all college coaches are very open to it. They love it. They want an honest guy. They want a guy who works hard. And I think that they can see a mission as something very beneficial for what that player can add to their team.
You know, that's an interesting part because we focus so much. And obviously, I think we really, in the media, we tend to focus more of it and how it affects football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But the point that you just made, I don't think gets talked about enough in terms of the type of character that it takes for someone to be really, really good at something, in whatever sport it is,
yeah,
and then say, oh, by the way, I love this thing so much, I'm going to put it aside for 2 years to go do something selfless to try and help other people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that part of the equation gets focused on enough, and it sounds like that was kind of the way that a lot of people that you ran into looked at it, which is great for you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the college coaches, they see that they don't look at it as, oh, you don't love the sport enough to pursue it 110%. They look at it as, you know, you have your priorities, you know what you want, and it's just such a different way to look at it. And they really respect it.
All right, we're going to get more into your mission to Argentina coming up on the other side. My guest today for the Deep Blue Podcast, Tyler Herget, will take a break, come back, and get more into his mission, which he has a great tie with his dad when it comes to his mission. We'll get into all that and more coming up on the Deep Blue Podcast here on BYU Radio. Hi, everybody. Jason Shepherd here, host of the Deep Blue Podcast. I want to make sure that you're aware of all of the other great podcasts we have on BYU Radio, like Her Why, hosted by Lauren McLean. It's all BYU women's athletics all the time. These great athletes join Lauren to share their personal stories of triumphs and trials, and we've got some of the best women's athletic teams in the NCAA. This is their story. This is their why. Listen to it wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast here on BYU Radio. I'm your host, Jason Shepherd. Happy to have BYU setter Tyler Herget with me today on the program. And before the break, we were talking about serving his mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Argentina. And that's the same country that your father served before finishing out his football career at BYU. What was that like to be able to have that in common and share that with your dad?
It was really cool. I mean, I'm still waiting to head down to Argentina to go back with him because he hasn't been back since. But I just remember reading my mission call, and I read Argentina, and I was like, that's awesome. And then I hear someone in the distance, that was my mission. And my dad's he's getting super excited. But I think what really just made me happy was that I got to serve the Lord, and that's what was really good about it. I know, well, I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but I ended up coming back to the States because of COVID, but it opened up a perspective like, hey, this is the Lord's work. It's not where I want to go. It's not what I need to do. It's what the Lord needs me to do.
How, with that in mind, and clearly it had a profound effect on you, how do you feel the benefits of your mission even still to this day?
I feel it a lot just because I just remember Argentina. I mean, just hot summers, dry heat, kind of like this weather out here in Utah. And it was difficult work. And I was in a small area in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't have anyone to talk to. And then I came here out here to Utah, and everyone, I mean, this mission is very well connected. We're in Provo, we're in like heart of BYU, and missionaries get to serve on campus, that kind of thing. Yeah. And there are still so many people to teach, and there's so much work to be done. And it caused me to reflect while I was here in Utah serving my mission, thinking about how it doesn't matter where you are. There are people everywhere. And that's what's so crazy, is that everyone can be blessed by the Lord.
While you were in Argentina for that portion of your mission, did you get to play any volleyball at all, recreationally, whatever? I mean, how much volleyball did you play? How big is volleyball down there anyway?
It's actually kind of big. I played it once while I was down there. We rented out some facility down there. It was like some rec center.
Yeah.
It was kind of old and torn down for the most part. But we'd play soccer. Soccer was the only thing that I ever played down there. We played with the kids. We'd play on our P days. In the street. I mean, we just love to play mainly with the kids because it brought them a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And when we could make them happy, then they really liked us. And that was what was great.
Well, your story of being on your mission during COVID and then being reassigned, and, you know, there's been several BYU athletes on campus now that have come back and served in Provo or Orem or wherever the case may be, very locally. How different was that from you to go from Argentina and that situation to Provo, and where you're going from a place that, you know, generally speaking, does not have a lot of members and everybody has to travel great distances to do things to the exact opposite.
To the exact opposite. I know. That was the biggest challenge. It was the complete opposite. And so I had to get used to talking with people on the street all the time, because everyone hung out on the street in Argentina, to knocking on doors and trying to get actually in the house here in Provo. And so that was the biggest challenge when I first came here to Provo, was just the difference between both of them and how you had to kind of do the work and how you had to talk to the people.
So were you able to sneak into any volleyball games while you were here?
That's a good question. I never got anywhere near BYU campus, sadly.
Really? Not anywhere near?
I guess I was here in Provo for the first month, but we were still locked down. We were still in our home, so we couldn't really leave very much.
Okay, so how much time was left in your mission when you got here?
I got here when I still had a year left.
Okay, so you had a long time.
Yeah. So I ended up serving in Provo, Mapleton, Santa Quinn, and Payson. So all here in the Valley. But I never made it here on BYU campus. Would have been tough.
That would have been really, really tough.
Okay. The Lord knows who I am.
There you go. He was not going to put you in a position to make things even more difficult. Okay, so your mission comes to an end.
Uh-huh.
You head home. and you end up going to Penn State. So why was Penn State the right fit for you to play volleyball?
While on my mission, I had my so-called volleyball resume. That's mm-hmm. what you send to coaches. This is what I have. Here's some videos. And my mom sent it to the Penn State coach. And he was like, I like what I'm seeing. We can offer him a spot. And but he'll have to – it's like preferred walk-on more or less. And so I went there, and my brother was already there. Mm-hmm. That kind of helped just me ease into the – ease back into life naturally sure. a bit more. But Penn State was great just because I think that I was able to just get my feet rolling right off the bat. I came on a mission super confident in what I was capable of doing, and Penn State was great. Even though the team more or less had their six or seven guys that they were going to play, that didn't matter to me. I knew what I was capable of, and I really wanted to go after. And I think that was great. The coach was very motivating in that regard.
What benefits were there being there with your brother from a family standpoint? How much did you treasure that time with your brother, especially just coming home from your mission?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I treasure a lot. I think about it all the time. We talk about it to this day, all these experiences that we had while playing together. But being there with him helped just bring my family out there too. My siblings that were still at home, they'd come out and they'd come and watch games with us. It was a very short drive. We'd go home on the weekends whenever we could, if we had maybe a Monday or Friday off. But being there with him, it was just someone to rely upon, someone to learn from, especially because he was older than I was. And yeah.
It just so happened that Penn State and BYU met that season. What do you remember from the matches, which the Nittany Lions won both? So uh-huh. what do you remember from that?
I just remember it being cold. It was snowy. Cougars rolled in. And I still remember, I think we were still wearing masks, at least on the sidelines we were. But I remember hearing that a lot of the guys on the BYU team had COVID, or they just couldn't travel because they were in contact with people. And so it was just kind of a weird time where we were like, is this how the season's going to go? Is this how it's not going to go? Obviously, it ended up getting a lot better
sure.
throughout the year. But it was great to just be on the court and feel the energy of the team, whether it be on our side or BYU side after they won. It's just like a competitive nature. I strive after that. I love that feeling of being competitive with other people.
You know, I've talked with a lot of athletes that have played during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever actually asked any one of them what it was really like to be an athlete during that time mm-hmm. with all of the things that go into athletics. I mean, you're close to people. It's everybody's, you know, exerting themselves and sweating, and, you know, it's the exact opposite of what you would say. You know what? To not spread anything, let's make sure we don't do this, this, and this, and this, because those are all the things you're probably doing as an athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's it like? What was it like for you to be an athlete during that time?
For me personally, towards the end of at least that stint of everyone kind of freaking out, it wasn't too bad. It was just more when it came to the game time, everyone had to be very kind of professional, so sure. to say, in that regard. But during practices, I mean, we're around each other 24/7. It's almost impossible not to catch something from one another because you're going to have to play yeah. with each other. Yeah. And so they just accepted that fact. But during the games, it's like, stay away from that team, this team, like, that's how it's going to go, more or less.
Such a unique time yeah. that, like, honestly, you know, we're several years past it now, and it almost feels like it didn't really happen. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about everything that we went through during that time. Okay, so in 2023, your team was a semifinalist in the NCAA tournament, lost to Hawaii in five sets. Mm-hmm. You ultimately, though, decide that you are going to move on from Penn State. What led to that decision for you?
We had a great team that year. And a lot of them were older. I mean, my brother was a senior, and we had a lot of fifth years. And so there's going to be a group transitioning out. That was going to be a larger group, so to say. So they were bringing on a bunch of newer guys. And so it would have been great. I mean, the team was prepped and primed and ready to go for the next year. And what I loved about playing volleyball at Penn State was the transparency and honesty of the coaches there. They were very open to me about where they were seeing the team headed, where they could see each player individually fitting within where they want the team to go. And so whenever I was able to talk with the coaches, that's what I would talk about. And it was great. And so there were some conversations I had that ultimately ended that kind of just swayed my thoughts into saying, hey, look, this might not be the best option. Let's go think about it. And so I thought about it for a bit and eventually decided to transfer. But I'm very grateful that I'm always honest with my coaches and the coaches are always honest with me.
How different was it this time looking for a different school versus out of high school being recruited? How were the two situations different?
I will say it is a bit different just because there is that when you have that name on your resume, when you have that name, when you have that first name or last name, people know that.
Yeah.
So Penn State's a very big school. And so when I entered the transfer portal, there were obviously schools that reached out. But I still had these goals in mind that I wanted to go to a school that, I mean, had great academics, something that could help me pursue my dreams academically, and that had a great volleyball team. And those were three necessary requirements. And so I reached out to BYU just to see if they were interested at all. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where this transition sort of led me.
Is that where you talk about all the things that you wanted in a school?
Mm-hmm.
Was BYU sort of the top choice for you, or was it just one of a couple and that's the way it worked out?
It was one of a couple and that's the way it worked out. I wasn't closed-minded to just one school. I was open to any to all.
Okay, so why BYU then? Why did it end up being the right place for you? Because it took a while for you to get accepted into school as well. So, I mean, there were some hurdles that you had to go through. Was there mm-hmm. a time like, wow, did I make the right decision? I mean, like what went into the decision to come to BYU? Why did it work?
Mm-hmm. So what made me come to BYU was kind of just like how it went with Penn State. I reached out to Penn State. They liked what they saw. They said they'd give me a shot. It wasn't like a total guarantee, but I had to work and I had to put that effort in. And BYU and Sean, he kind of said the same thing. He was like, hey, look, this is our situation right now. Very honest, very transparent with me. This is what we're looking for, and this is what you can do if you decide to come here. This is what you can do if we end up deciding that you're on the team.
Right.
And so that little glimpse of hope, or that little glimpse of, hey, this is what you can have, this is what you can achieve, really, I don't know what, but it really made me want to come here.
So that's been a theme so far just in talking with you in the last 30 minutes is what you just mentioned, that, you know, if people are honest with you, you want to show them that you're willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from with you?
I honestly have no idea. It must be from what my parents have taught me from a young age. My dad has taught that I always need to stay focused, I always need to be disciplined, and I always need to have faith. And he uses these three terms a lot. And I think after just hearing that all the time and putting it in my head, it's really just made me go after the things that I want.
You mentioned that most of the places that you talked to, BYU being one with Coach Olmstead, you know, gave you no promises, no guarantees. You're going to come in, your work, and if you make the team, then we'll see. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. You got here. It took you three matches before you were inserted into the starting lineup. Is that right?
Three or four, yeah. I can't really remember.
Did that catch you by surprise? Did that surprise you that quickly you were in and part of this thing?
Yeah. I think what I love about BYU or just team sports in general is that you're in it to win it if you're on that team. Like you're on that team and you're necessary. You're a necessary component. The coaches believe in you if you're there. And so I think that anyone who travels, anyone who's on the bench, the coaches need you there. And that's what I think is the toughest part about being on the bench, because it often doesn't feel like that.
Right.
But if you can have that in your head, that's when you'll always be ready to go in. And so I think that no matter what, like this year, we've been switching a lot. Mm-hmm. Noah and I have been jumping back and forth, and I love it because he's ready, I'm ready. And I have full confidence in him, and he has full confidence in me, and it's great.
How would you describe that first season for you at BYU?
It was exhilarating, but it was also a grind. I mean, we were a team that we were ranked inside the top 10 the entire year, but we had trouble breaking that top six threshold. I think we were 7 and 8 almost all year. And so it was tough to just break that one threshold. And we never talked about it. We don't talk about it because that doesn't matter to us. What matters for us is, are we going to put our heads down and are we going to get in the gym?
We've already talked about you being able to play with your older brother at Penn State. Your younger brother, Trevor, is on his mission right now in Idaho, right? In Pocatello?
Yeah.
Not too far,
not
about
too far.
A 3-hour drive. he's going to be on the team next year after his mission is over.
Yeah.
So what an opportunity for you to not just be able to play with one brother. You're going to have the opportunity to play with two of your siblings. What does that mean to you? What an awesome thing for you, certainly, and for him, but also for your family.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I mean, I played with my older brother in high school, so I already had experience playing with him before, but I've never played with Trevor. And I've watched him play. I've always wanted to play with him just because he's a great athlete. And I'm excited for next year. I think that coming off your mission, you got to put in a lot of work.
Sure.
I mean, you're going to have to. And so I know what he's capable of, and I'm excited to see where him and all the rest of the freshmen, because we're going to have a big freshman class next year, I'm excited to see where all of them, what they can achieve or where they can grow to, because we're going to need it. We're going to need them.
You have another brother still in high school in Connecticut, right?
Yes.
So he's playing volleyball and football, I believe.
Yes.
Is there a chance that maybe he's going to wake his way west out here to BYU?
There might be. I have no. I can make no promises here. But I know that he's a very sports guy.
Okay.
And he really wants to play either football or volleyball in college.
Oh, so he would be open to either.
He'd be open to either. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sure that you get this question a lot, especially with families that have a lot of athletes and certainly a lot of athletes within the same sport.
Yeah.
Who's the best volleyball player?
That's a great question. You got to ask in time frames for us for the most part.
Okay.
Just because I think that in high school, it had to have been Trevor. He was just dominant. I don't know if he ever lost a high school game, but he was naturally gifted to play volleyball. But in college, I would personally say my oldest brother paved the way, and I think that might have been the hardest.
Sure.
And so I give him a lot of credit for doing that. But I think Tim, my brother I played with at Penn State, watching him do everything he needed to get better and put in all that work, that kind of made me really see how driven and how much he wanted it.
All right, Tyler, as we begin to wrap things up here, and again, I appreciate you being willing to do this. This has been a fun conversation. You've had a lot of things, a lot of different avenues that have led you to where you are right now.
Uh-huh.
What's been your biggest takeaways from your travels and experiences that have brought you to this point? How do you look back on those and realize how it's gotten you to where you are now?
Yeah. I think there's almost always a learning opportunity in the decisions we make, whether they be small or whether they be big. And deciding to play volleyball, although it might have been just a split-second decision, it's impacted my life greatly. And I think that there are always opportunities to reflect and be grateful. And I think that's almost the biggest part that I've learned, is because not everyone plays a sport in college. Not everyone has the blessing to receive the benefits of what college athletes receive, whether that be physical, mental, or emotional, or even spiritual. And so I think that going to Penn State and then coming here to BYU and being able to play with my older brother and playing with my younger brother next year has really just opened my eyes to be very grateful for what the Lord has given me.
Well, I appreciate you again being willing to stop by. I really enjoyed this, so thanks for taking a few minutes. This has been great.
Thank you.
All right, thanks once again to my guest, Tyler Herget. My name is Jason Shepherd. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.